songs to bless you guys. The first one is Away in a Manger. The second one is Joy to the World. And we'll start. We're going to do both a cappella.
How our Father in heaven is when we sing to Him and worship. Isn't that true? He warms His heart as well. Okay, well, we're going to do something a little different. We're doing some Bibles overseas for North Korea and for China as an action pack for some of the Syrian refugees, including in a Bible. And so we're going to have the kids. My goal was to have 50 Bibles come from this church. We're already in action packs. We're already at over 100. Praise the Lord. And so the kids are going to put more stars. Every one of these stars you see on the tree, whether it be gold or silver, is a Bible or an action pack going out from this little church. And we've got the kids. If you guys would go see, where's Mrs. Weaver? You go see Mrs. Weaver, and you guys put some more stars on the tree.
Unless you grab a star, go ahead and take two stars.
We're putting on another 50 stars just today.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome?
So maybe by the end of the year, it's like a week away. I don't know. I don't even know what year it is. Anyway, by the end of the year, this whole thing, this whole tree is just going to be filled up with these stars. And you can just know that God's word is going out. It's not returning void. That God is impacting lives through you guys. And so if you would like to donate to that, we don't make anything of it. It all goes out to the underground church in North Korea and China. The Bibles are $5 a piece.
Wow.
You can put it, you can write a check, at Home Fellowship Church, or cash, just put a little note for the Bibles, stick them back in the tithe box, the little bird box in the back. Or if anyone would like one of these, this is called an action pack. And there's a list of different things that you can put in there. Blankets, jackets, sweaters, gloves, a toy, underwear, a bar of soap, something like that. If you would like to help Syrian refugees, what they're going to do is they're going to add a Bible, if it's going to an adult, or it's going to add a gospel message for kids, if it's going to the kids. You can get these for $7 a piece from the lovely and talented Susie Jones. And if you like one of these, all you have to do is ask. We'll give you this. You bring it back, and we'll ship it over there, and they'll get it right into the hands of the people over in Syria, and they'll put it in the right post. You fill it up yourself, $7 a piece. Okay? Does that sound good? Or if you would like them to fill it up for you, it's $30 a piece. And then you just write a check and we'll tell you $30 for action packs for Syria in the memo. And we'll send them out for you. And they'll pack it up with everything they think should be in it. Does that make sense? Well, we've got a few of these. $7 a piece. You can do it as a family. A great gift. My kids were getting together their own money. They worked for it so they could buy Bibles and action packs. Even this morning, with their own money, so that they could give Bibles to folks in another country that desperately need it, and warm clothes and stuff like that. So we get to do it as a family. What a great way to show
Christ's gift. Whatever their language.
Yes, yes, it will be in their language. Yes, absolutely.
That's a lot of stars.
That's great. Hey, whatever you choose, be alone. I'm okay with whatever you feel like.
Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. Beautiful kid.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to do some songs of our own. If you guys want to stand up and we'll praise the Lord.
Shepherds watch our keeping.
song, it just talks about bringing the Lord gifts, you know, and so much time we think about Christmas time as, hey, we get presents, you know, we have a lot of fun, and we hang out with family, and that's great. But I also want us to think about what we can bring the Lord. You know, maybe there's things that we've been holding on to, you know, that we really let go of. I mean, that's why Jesus is here. He's bringing that salvation. He's breaking our chains. So right now, Lord, I thank you that we can come together, and we don't have to be in fear of worshiping you. We don't have to be in fear of celebrating your birth. And I just pray, Father, that while we take this time and we celebrate, Father, that we are able to let go of so many things that hold us down and keep us down, Lord God. And that we can just be thankful for all the times that we've had troubles and you've pulled us out, Lord God. That we can sit and think of these times as when you've broken chains, Lord God. I've had so many chains, Father, that you've broken in my life. I just think about the person that I used to be. Lord God, I was so sinful, Father. But because of Jesus, I'm free. And I have so much to be thankful for. So I pray, Father, that we don't just think about the worldly things that during this time, Lord God, but we think about the heavenly things, Father. Help us to remember that. Lord God, I do thank you that these children came in today and they sang to us, Father, and they ministered to us, Father. And I just pray that anything that's spoken, Lord God, you'll give us open hearts and ears to hear. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Someone has to watch the sheep.
The sheep, okay? They eat, they poop, they sleep. They'll be fine. Let's go. And it's the same thing that you said when we wanted to go see the Button and Sons concert, and we saw it, and we lost half our flock. We lost half Sam! Angels, they just popped into the sky, and instead of spreading their Bethlehem, you're all like, oh, cool, we got to take care of the sheep. What about their abandonment issues?
Hey, guys, I'm going to race you. Okay, last one there is the sticky one. Let's go! Look, okay, the angels are there, okay? That's what they do. That's why we call them guardian angels.
No, it's guardian angels. Guardian.
Tomato! Who cares? Why are we defending here?
Someone needs to watch the sheep. You know it, I know it, and the sheep know it.
Sheep don't peel.
You can't prove that. There's only one way to solve this. Rock, parchment, shears.
Rock, parchment, shears, shoot!
Today, in the town of David, a Savior will be born unto you.
Right.
Why did the angel say that? Why did the angel tell a bunch of lowly shepherds about the coming of a Messiah? I mean, why us?
I don't know why us. But they did. So maybe this Messiah didn't just come for people that matter. Maybe he came for people like us. Which is the whole more reason why.
Amen.
I know. And I want to. It's just a lot to take in. It's been a crazy night.
Did you see how fast I was running? Or now it's like a lightning bolt. But no, you guys are never gonna believe this. I forgot my good cloak. Can you imagine me meeting the Messiah without my good cloak? That would be ridiculous. I can't even tell you.
Let me bottom line this for you. I, for one, cannot not go see this Messiah. Okay? So if what you're saying is that I, instead of seeing the man who's going to change everything, have to stay here and sheep sit, well, that just won't work for me. You're right. before we go, I'm not trying to nitpick, but you said cannot not, and that's a double negative. Promise me, when we go meet the Messiah, you cannot not talk like that. Promise me you won't talk like that to the Messiah. Promise me. He's a baby. He's gonna care how we do. Mm. Let me talk pretty. Let's go.
Wait. I think I just solved our problem.
What are you guys still doing here? What are you waiting for? It's the King of Kings. Okay, so less standy, more runny. Ready, take a knee.
Okay. We were playing rock, parchment, cheers.
Oh, yeah. You lost.
Oh. Yeah, you lost.
Okay, besides that little bit at the end there, that last little joke, what do you think about that? That video. What? What about the message behind it? What did you notice? What was that one guy struggling with?
Not being able to leave this shit behind.
Not being able to leave this stuff behind?
What's more important?
What?
What's more important?
What's more important?
Not being good enough.
Not being good enough? Good. What else?
Who are we? We're nothing. We're shepherds. We just watch sheep. Why would he come for us?
Yeah.
He came for everything.
Not dressed well enough to get here.
Right? Not dressed well enough to see the Messiah?
Yeah, then we need to clean ourselves up before we go. And the whole reason to go see is to get cleaned up.
You know, one of the things... Oh, yeah, go ahead. Hey!
Hi!
Hi!
The world had never known a king like that before, like a humble king. So they were just, they're grand. So we have to look better, we have to be... Why are they asking us? Like, all of it, Now we have, in history, we have a king that's humble.
Maybe he didn't come with people that mattered.
Like us?
Right.
Like you and me.
The shepherd, too, was really excited and went, had to, when he came back for his cloak, he ended up being the stay, and he should have forgot about the cloak, but he came back to dress himself up. And it ended up being he was the one that had to stay with the sheep.
Isn't that a cute video? But there's a lot there, isn't there? You know, when you do think about it, you know, when we think of shepherds, you know, we think, I just have this nice, beautiful picture in my mind of, you know, you see it usually in the little mangers with the nice clean hay and the nice wooded out, you know, little stall for the feeding trough for Jesus. Okay, I want you to think about where he's actually coming. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords chose to go in the lowliest of places. He was born in a stable. And how many of you have been to a stable? Raise your hand. Or a petting zoo? Is the hay clean? It's full of what? Poop? Junk?
Hay?
Just refuse, right? But yet, that's where he came. And the feeding trough, it was not something, sanitized, It was a dirty, stinky stable. It was an unsanitized feeding trough where animals were... That's my interpretation of an animal eating. But in case you're like, I know people are like... And you know what? When I think about what Jesus came, he could have been born in the biggest palace in the world, or to the most influential people, or to the richest, or to the coolest, or to the most powerful. But what he did to show you how much he loved you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he came down in the form of a man and was introduced in the lowest of low places. Not only that, if that were all. But he was introduced first by shepherds. And shepherds were...
Outcasts.
They were what?
Outcasts.
Outcasts? They were rebels. They were like vagabonds, thieves. They were the low of the lows. You didn't want to be around the shepherds. You know what I'm saying? And now we can get a little hoity-toity about ourselves. Think we're all that in a bag of chips. But really, when you boil it all down, I was like one of those little mangy shepherds in my heart. And yet, he loved me enough to say, I recognize you, and I want to introduce myself to you. It says he came and introduced himself to you. Not many of you were much when God called you, right?
Not much at all.
But he's got the foolish ones to confound the wise. Yes, somebody had their hand raised?
No. I was trying to get her attention without disturbing you.
It's the sweater, isn't it?
I was going to have her pick up the microphone so you can step on it.
All right, so anyway, that's just something.
Foolish ones to confound the wise.
Yeah, he chose the foolish to confound the wise. Yeah, I think that's awesome. So I want you to think about that. He also came personally to you. He just didn't come for us as a whole. You know what I'm saying? Tamalyn, if you were the only one here, he would come for you. He came for the Mark Manleys, the Debbies, the Anthonys, the Adams, the Toms, the Susies. You guys know what I'm saying. That's who your Savior is. He loves you that much. Don't forget that in the midst. Don't leave the cloak behind. Don't worry about the sheep. Don't worry about your stuff. Just go see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen?
Amen.
All right, amen. All right, well, we do have a couple of announcements somewhere. I know I've lost track of all my stuff, so... Just if anybody's interested, I'll just mention these quickly, and then we'll get into our Bible study this morning. But we're doing an evangelistic study, basically how to share your faith, how to share Jesus without fear. It's going to be a four-week Bible study. Thursdays here at Home Fellowship Church will either be at 6 or 6:30. I'm not really sure. It'll go 2 hours, so either 6 to 8 or 6:30 to 8:30. It's $15 for the workbook. It's only 4 weeks, and you're going to be able to share your faith in a way that nobody can argue against you. It's amazing. And so if you have not taken this course, I can't make you, of course, but I would exhort you, I would beg you to come out and take the course. If you can't afford the $15, that's just too much for you right now, this body that tithes every week faithfully will give it to you as a gift in Jesus' name. So don't not come because you don't have the $15. Okay? So we've got that Bible study going on. We'll mention more about this maybe next week. There's a youth camping trip coming up next month. And so we're going to be leaving Saturday morning. It was originally going to be Friday night, but I don't know if we get the tent set up in time. So early Saturday morning, and then we're going to stay and come back Saturday afternoon. And Anthony and Natalie are going to be in charge of that. And so if you want more information, we'll speak about it next week. You can see Anthony, and it's a place here, a little campsite in Bradenton. We'll talk more about it next week. Also, the prison ministry. George, you had something you wanted to share? Do you have a microphone? Or
I think everybody can hear me.
Okay.
We'd like you to help us to take and bring Christmas cheer to the guys at the prison next year. So what we would like you to do is, if you have any leftover Christmas cards, we'd like you to bring them in next week. We're going to take and provide a box or something that you can put them in there. And we'll use those for sending out to the guys next year. Also, if you have Christmas cards, if you're going to be throwing them away, ones that you've received from other people, bring those too. We're going to find a way to take and recycle those so we can use those, so we'll make sure that everybody gets a Christmas card next year. We're going to be giving those in Jesus' name, so they will be able to send the families a Christmas card. And we would like you to either give those to me or give those to Jen. And we'll make sure they get in the box. If we don't happen to get a box over there, we have older guys like us have a bad habit of forgetting things. So,
hey, you look at me. Rude.
Well, actually, we got a system in place for somebody to remind somebody to remind somebody to remind me to remind Darren to send out a message before the end of the week to remind you guys to bring in those cards next week so we have them for next year. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Good job. Thank you.
Okay. All right. That's great. Also, I know that someone from our fellowship, we're sending out, I had it just in my hands. Oh. I don't know what to say. I'm not ready to give anybody ammo. Just a little pamphlet we sent out to the prisoners over there. Someone sent out from here. It's just really cool. It's so cool to see just the different things that God is doing. I love it. Also, with Neely and George, they put the sermons online. So if you want that, it's at homefellowshipchurch.com. They're now online. You guys know you can meet here every Sunday morning for prayer at about 9:15. Skip that for this week. And there's no men's Bible study this week, no women's Bible study this week, right?
Right.
Okay. There is no youth group this week.
Aww.
But didn't we have a great time this last week?
Yes. Yeah.
That okay, that's all I'm saying. And I don't know about Friday. Friday, is there any...
Already gone.
Huh?
Already passed it.
We already passed it, so... Oh.
Okay.
Friday forum?
Friday is Christmas.
Okay, yeah. So yes, no. Okay. All right, we already went over missions, Bibles for captive nations. We already went $5 going underground to North Korea and China. Put that in the tithe box if you want. Also, $7 for those action packs or $30 where they fill it. Okay? So we've got that. Okay, so let's turn in our Bibles
to the book of Jude.
What's that? Where's that?
Is that Jude?
It is right before Revelation. Jason, you may say something, but before you do, I just want to say how awesome it is to have all of our invalids back. Dave with his surgery knee, Ray with his replacement hip, and Jason with his back. It's nice to have you here. Keep praying for their recovery. And do this well. Now you may say.
All right. For anyone looking for something to do this week, Grace Community Church is putting on a Christmas on Main Street and Lakewood Ranch on Wednesday night from 6 to 8:30. And they're going to have caroling and all sorts of vendors are going to be there and stuff for kids, fun games and stuff like that. But they're doing it as an outreach. But it is something for families to do on Wednesday night. It's free from 6 to 8:30 on Lakewood Ranch Main Street.
That's awesome.
So.
And speaking of Lakewood Ranch, we went on this thing. Okay, I just want to tell you, maybe I'll use it if you can cloud say it now. Okay, we did this thing called the Jingle Bell Run. Has anybody ever heard of it?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So we did it as a family in Lakewood Ranch. And next year, I'm going to grab a lot of us from the church, have our own little team, and do it. We did it as a family.
It was for breast cancer.
Yeah, it was for breast cancer. That's right. It was a lot of fun to do it by and large. It was a 5K run. My son did it Elijah did it in like 30-some-odd minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, that's really good. And Hezekiah did it. He did it in about 40 some odd minutes, which was great. I want to say, Lisa and I and the kids, they were picking up the phones.
You were the first mile when I was on the third.
But we finished the race, okay? Amen.
Never give up.
That's right. Never give up. And the book of Jude is a kind of a neat picture. It's about contending for the faith. I was going to do a quick book like Philemon or something, and the Lord just said, or a nice Christmas message. And honestly, the Lord said, no, I want you to start Jude. And I thought, okay, well, I'll just get a good, a quick chapter. And we'll be done, and then we'll start the new year off. And the Lord said, "Yeah, you're not running the show."
Well.
And so I got into the Book of Jude, and I'm going, "Oh my word!" Yes. Now the Book of Jude, if you don't know, it's right by Revelation, right? Mm-hmm. How many here? Most people haven't even read it, let alone done a study of it. Preachers don't really preach on it or teach on it, hardly ever. But there's a lot of stuff in it. It's one page. That's right. It's roughly 613 words, 25 verses.
And one chapter.
And one chapter. Right. So how many, just by a show of hands right now, how many people have ever, for themselves, in the New Testament, have just read the Book of Jude? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Go ahead. How many people have done a study through the Book of Jude? Okay, so it's like three. Okay. All right. Well, the Book of Jude, when I read it, I think the best thing that I can do or that I can say about the Book of Jude is, and as far as an introduction goes, it's about contending for the faith. And the only thing that I could, well, there's two things I likened it to, but I'll get to that in a second. One of the things I likened it to was, as I was doing this race, you know, I used to be in really good shape. It'd be hard to know now. But I used to be in really good shape. And so to watch my, you know, 13, 14-year-old son blaze by me, and my 12-year-old son blaze by me, and I'm holding back the 8-year-old because I didn't want to let him run on his own. As, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I'll stay back with Lisa and Ezekiel. You know, kind of. By about mile 2.
They blazed by you.
And then, of course, by the second mile, is little Ezekiel Truth. He's my 5-year-old. He goes, yeah, I'm so tired. You are, honey? And then, can you make it a little bit further? I said that. I know, come on. And then my wife goes, I'll carry it. And I'm like, I know I can't let that happen. So, okay, come here. So then, like the last mile, okay, I put little Ziki Zoo on my back. And I'm thinking, okay. Just get to the water and finish the race. Get to the water and finish the race. And so it's just, the book of Jude is about fighting. It's about struggling. It's about not giving up. Because the enemy's going to come in and he's going to want to put a hurt on you. He's going to want to limit you. He's going to want to stop you. And you have to know enough and be mature enough to say, I'm going to continue to fight. I'm going to continue to wrestle. I'm going to give it my all to the end. I'm not going to sit. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to shut my doors, roll up the windows, put the comfy chair back, just want to be by myself. I'm not. I'm going to fight. And so the book of Jude is kind of a cool little book. There's lots of nuggets in it. Am I fading in or out, or is that my ear?
Yeah, it's cutting in a little bit.
Okay. All right, so here's a couple things, that just a little introduction to the book of Jude. Some people like it, some people don't. So if you don't, you can just like take a snooze for 2 minutes. I'll wake you up. Okay, so here we go. The book of Jude, the greeting and the purpose. It's basically that when it goes the first 4 verses, it's going to go through the greeting. It's one of the most beautiful greetings I've seen in the Bible. And its greeting and purpose is to just convey mercy and peace and love to God's children. That's how it starts out, reminding them who they are in the faith. And then it tells them what to do. And what they're supposed to do is to contend for the faith. I got that laser pointer right here. Contend for the faith. And why? Because certain persons have secretly slipped in. They're like wolves in sheep's clothing. You see that. You know, they're here with an agenda. They're here to draw you away after themselves. They're here to draw you away from the Lord or their little pet doctrine or their little whatever it is. They want to get a little following for themselves. So, verses 5 through 6, as we go through the book of Jude, it's about exposing some of these false people and false teachers. And it goes into detail, man. Their doom is certain. They're not going to get away with it, even though they snuck in. Their guilt is sure. Their spirituality, even though they might look like the part, right? Their spirituality is empty. Their lives are godless. And then it's going to be in verses 17 to 23, you're going to see warnings and commands to Christians. To remember these things I've taught you, to keep yourself in the faith, to have mercy, to show mercy, to save others that are wandering off. And finally, the last 2 verses are just the coolest benediction. And that's, I don't know what exactly, but benediction is probably like a fancy way of what? Like saying praise or something like that? Is that what you'd say?
It's a blessing.
Like a blessing, yeah, that's probably better. Yes, exactly, like praise or a blessing. And it's basically just talking about our God being our ultimate hope, our infinite God. And so, the tone in the first 4 verses is just appealing to the Christians. And it's just Jude's own concern writing to these Christians. And it's directed to anybody who loves the Lord. Okay? And verses 5 to 6, it's revealing. It's talking about how to reveal these false teachers, boldly exposing those. And it talks about those who indulge in gross immorality. That's going to be one way you're going to be able to spot them. And verses 17 to 23, as they're warning the Christians, God's just reminding us through Jude, by the Holy Spirit, giving us strong exhortation that you're beloved, that you need to to have these things, mercy, love, kindness, in abundance, supernaturally. Listen, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, this is not about going to church. If that's what it is for you, you've missed it. You don't understand. And I don't say that in an attacking way. I'm saying that the Lord of Lords has come down personally to have a relationship with you, an intimate relationship with you, where he speaks to you, you speak to him, that he can empower you to live this Christian life. It's not just about going to church and doing good things. Wonderful that you do that. It's about a supernatural, life-giving change. The God of the universe, by his Holy Spirit, comes and lives inside of you. Amen. When that happens, there's a change.
Amen.
You cannot stay the same. You cannot walk with God and stay the same. You can't. When his Holy Spirit does something in your life, you won't stay the same. If I play basketball, right? Okay? I don't. Obviously, some of you ever watch me play. I can't even dribble. But if I said, hey, the King of Kings, God himself, the Holy Spirit, he's come and he's now empowered me to play basketball. Right? Now, if that were true, wouldn't you expect me to play basketball differently? Maybe all of a sudden, you know, I'm doing a Michael Jordan dunk. Right? With this weight. Yes. But you know, you would see a change. You would see dribble. You would see speed. You would see things over time. It would be a change. And that's what God does. He changes lives. Okay. The key theme in this book of Jude is exposing false teachers and standing firm in the faith. And the key verse we're going to get to today is probably, I would say, Jude 1:3, which we're going to get to in just a minute, about contending for the faith. And seeing Jesus Christ in Jude is just saying Jesus is our only master and Lord who's going to judge the false prophets and is coming. All right. A couple more quick things for those of you who like it. Jude was written about 65 AD, roughly. And we're going to start off with somebody. Let's read at least the first four verses. Would somebody mind reading that for me? Who doesn't? And go for it.
Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we shared, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord.
Yeah. So we're going to start off. The author of this book, you guys, is, of course, who?
The Holy Spirit.
Technically, yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
That is right. But the physical author, brought along by the Holy Spirit, who is it?
Jude.
Jude's first name, of course, is Hey.
Hey, Jude.
Hey, Jude.
All right. Well, it's just a quick second. Don't make it bad. Takes the sad epistle and makes it better. Remember, Jude. Don't let the false teachers get on your skin. Then you begin to make it better. Nah. Okay. Now we've got it all over our system. Okay, that's it. All right. So the author is Jude. Now, there's actually about five Judes in the Bible, okay? And so most scholars, most Bible teachers, they got it down to, they believe it's one guy, and it's Jude. And Jude is the brother of James, yes, who is?
Half-brother of Jesus.
Now, I know some of you are new, so you're sitting here going, ooh! The half-brother of Jesus, what does that mean? Okay, so give me just 2 minutes, okay, scripturally, okay, when we say half brother. Okay, the Virgin Mary, she was a virgin. She was conceived by the Holy Spirit, right? And she gave birth to a son, right? So Mary is Jesus' physical mother, right?
Yep.
Right? But the Father is our Heavenly Father, right? Okay? And now some folks teach that Mary was perpetually a virgin, but the Bible does not teach that. And so I just want to go over it really quickly and not slamming anything, not slamming anybody. I just want you to know what the Bible says. You can read it for yourselves, just so that you know. Matthew chapter 1. Let's go there first, just a couple quick verses. Matthew chapter 1, 23 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, 23 to 25. All right, Mark, with that, you raising your hand or stretching?
That was me putting my glasses on.
I see. What would you read since you got them on now? It looks so nice. Are you there yet?
Not quite yet.
You there yet? Okay, Carl, are you there? Okay, Matthew chapter 1, would you read that? Verses 23 to 25, actually.
Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
Yep, God with us, yeah.
Which is translated God with us.
Sorry. Keep going.
Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son.
Okay, now, for those of you who don't know, that did not know her doesn't mean like, hey, who is she? That means
had no relations.
Some translations will say had no relations with her. That means marital relations. Sexual relations with her when until she had Jesus. Okay, so after that, there were. Okay, now, just so you know, go to Mark chapter 6, 1 to 4. Okay, Mark chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 6, 1 to 4. Chris, would you mind giving that read? Mark chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. I want you to see that. Okay?
He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him?
So Jesus is coming with his disciples, teaching in the synagogue to his hometown. People are like, who is this guy? What wisdom? This is amazing. Okay, keep going, Chris.
That even such mighty words are wrought by his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and the Judah and Simon? Are they not his sisters here with us?
Yeah.
And are not they, and they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house.
So they're here, and he's talking about his brothers, James, and Judah is another, it's the Greek is, for Jude, is Judas or Judah. So basically he's saying, okay, here are my brothers, Now, it's kind of funny, Jude, if you didn't know this, the half-brother Jesus was not always a believer. James and Jude were not always believers. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in John chapter 7, somebody read that really quickly, verses 2 to 5. First, they thought all these people were following him. You know, they probably were thinking, you know, he's just Mr. Goody Two Sandals, you know. Whatever they think. And they didn't believe at first. They didn't believe till after he was raised from the dead. Then they actually both came to know the Lord. James, you'll actually find he becomes a leader in the church. Not the Apostle James, but the half-brother Jesus, who wrote the book of James. In Acts chapter 12, you read about that one, two later. But in John chapter 7, verses 2 to 5, it says what? Who wants to read that for me? That's why everybody, okay, Mark?
Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was at hand. His brothers, therefore, said to him, Depart from here and go into Judea, and their disciples also may behold your works, which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world.
I think they're kind of mocking him.
Yeah.
I think they're saying, hey, watch, hey, you're the big cheese, you're the Messiah, why don't you go there and preach the word to them, huh? Why don't you go show yourself publicly? And Jesus said, that's not yet my time. But then after, even in the book of Acts, go to Acts, last one. Mark, please.
For not even his brothers were believing in him.
Ah, thank you. I forgot about that. That's correct. Good. Okay, so not even his brothers believed him at first. Okay, but then, later on, Acts chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, last verse we're going to go here. So I just want you to know who this is. Acts chapter 1, 13 to 14. Amy?
Okay. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together, constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
There you go. Okay, so later on in Acts, they were there with them. They had believed when he was raised from the dead. And you'll find again, you can find this James, his brother, later on in the book of Acts. You can read that in chapter 12. Okay, so basically he's like, okay, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. To me, that's, you know, if I was like the half-brother of Jesus, you know, I would have had a t-shirt made or something, you know. Half-bro of the J-Man or something. You know what I'm saying? You know, have a hat or something. But yet, Jude is a humble man. Jude is like, you know, hey, there's nothing about him that's saying, hey, I knew him personally. You know, nowadays, he'd have a book deal. He'd be going around the churches, speaking at Christians. Book. Listen, these men were humble men. They knew who they'd given their life over to the Lord. And it says, Jude says, hey, I'm a nobody. I'm simply, like some of you, a servant of Jesus Christ. So that's something I think that you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask myself, really, is have you chosen to be a servant of Jesus Christ? That word servant in the Greek is doulos. It means bond servant. It means like a slave. The picture imagery is like back from Exodus 21 and 22. Slavery was rampant in the Roman kingdom and back even before. And so if you were to have a Hebrew slave, your Hebrew had a Hebrew slave, and at the seventh year you had to set them free. If that servant or that slave said, man, I never had it so good. I didn't realize what an awesome master you were. I've never been so provided for. I've never been so loved. I've never been treated so well and taken care of and fed. And I mean, I've never had it like this. And you really care. You know, what he can do, this bond, they can make himself a bondservant. What made a bondservant was two things. One, that it was done of his own free will. He could say, I want to be their servant. By choice. And that's what we do with Jesus. We choose to say, I want to be a servant. So a bondservant was done of your own free will, and it was also done for life. So have you made that choice yet in your life? Have you said, Lord, I want to bend my knee. I want you to be my master. Well, I don't want anybody to be my master. Well, let me tell you, you already have a master. That master is the enemy of your soul who wants to kill, lie, deceive you. You do have a master. But Jesus is a good master. Listen, there's a passage in Matthew chapter 6. Okay? Matthew chapter 6. Yes. Matthew. You need a second term there? I think that's about right. Matthew chapter 6, 24. Right? It says this, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, some translations say you cannot serve God and mammon, and that's actually more accurate, I think. Yeah. Because mammon is the things of this world. Mm-hmm. See, listen. You're going to serve a master. You are. If you're doing drugs right now, and that's what you do, let me tell you, it's not serving you. You are serving it. It is your master. If you're out for money, right, and you're working 100 hours a week, and you have no time for devotion, whatever the Lord, you're making the dollar, you're doing the whatever, you are serving the world and the enemy of this world. Do you remember when Satan came to Jesus to tempt him? You remember he offered him all the things of these world. It's all mine. He said, I'll give it all to you. If you'll just what? Bow down and serve me. You can only serve one master. It's either Satan or it's the Lord. It might come under the guise of drugs, money, power, prestige, yourself. Whatever that guise is, it's all on this side of the coin. Have you made that commitment? Can you say in your heart of hearts, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I know who I am. I know who I serve. I know who my master is. I know I can't serve two things. I know I can only serve either you or this world. 1 John 2:15 to 17 says, do not love the world nor the things in the world, because the things of the world are going to fade away. But the one who does the will of God is going to live forever. That's pretty strong. Yeah. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, whatever, that's all going to go. It's going to burn, baby. Yeah. It's going to burn. Why do you want the prestige so much? Why is the money so important to you? Who cares what people think of you? How about you care what the Lord thinks of you? Amen. Do you know what I'm saying? Amen. But you have to choose to make that bondservant say, like Jude, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. Yes, Hezekiah.
Yes,
by the way, if you're new, you can ask questions. We ought to speak out, share, whatever.
What's kind of stupid is that Satan offered him all those things. Didn't God already own it all along?
Ultimately, the answer is yes.
But then why would he even offer that? I mean, isn't that a little stupid?
Well, because that's a good question. Actually, that's a really good question. And I'll tell you why. Because even though I know God owns it all, and he owns my heart, I also know that for this short time I'm here on this earth, I can be tempted. That Satan has some free reign
down
here.
Jesus was a man.
He was fully God, fully man. And so he had that, yes, exactly. So he had that. So while he was on this earth, Hezekiah, you know what? He could be tempted, just like you and I could be tempted. Does that make sense? And so while he's on this earth, while you're on this earth, Satan's got power. He does have...
what was given to him.
And Adam handed it over
and
to him.
And Adam gave away the keys to the king.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
Sorry.
And don't say, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm like, what are you saying? Sorry. And don't blame Adam. You would have done it too.
Yeah.
But, of course, I blame Eve. But no, anyway, go ahead. I'm just kidding. Don't break the end.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, I didn't have the way it did. And we wouldn't have salvation to be able to
absolutely
go to
yes
heaven. So
amen.
It was all in the plan.
Amen.
In the plan.
Yes. All right, so back to Jude. Okay, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Don't leave here without answering that question in your heart. If you don't know that you're a servant of Jesus Christ, will you come see me? And if I'm not available, you know, just see, Gary, can you just raise your hand? Like, or Carl, can you raise your hand? Or just see somebody. Talk to one of us. Grab some Nate, you know. Nate's got the baby, she can't raise the baby, you know. So, Susan, just come see us, and we'll talk with you about it. So anyway, so first, before he goes into all this stuff about these false teachers, he wants to remind the people of who they are. If you have given your life to Christ, here's a few things you can say about yourself, okay? And this is pretty cool. Jude. He says, you are called. I don't know. Do you know that you're called?
Yeah.
You know you can't come to the Father on your own unless the Father draws you. The Father, the fact that you're here today, whether this is your first time or your 51st time, the Lord is calling you to Himself. It's not an accident. We read in Corinthians, what was it, Corinthians, we need to read it. I said it in my head. Corinthians, yes, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 and 26 and 27. We're going to turn there real quick if you don't mind. And I want somebody to read that for me. Christina, you, huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8, 9, or 26, 27 is on the screen. Because I want you to know, if you are born again, you are called. And if you're here in this church, you are called. God has called you to be here for a reason. I don't know what that is, but it's not just to take up space. It is for you to learn, to grow, but it's also to go out and do. Gather, let's work together as a body, not just to become a couch potato. God has called you for a reason. I don't have all the gifts. You probably can say, well, that's clear. But that's why we need one another. Amen. Right? Amen. Okay, so you are called. God called you to Himself. You could reject the call, right? If you get a telephone call, I'm sure this has never happened to you. But you see Pastor Darren's number on there thinking, maybe I'll take that a little later. Now, you can reject the call, can't you? Or you can pick it up and say, hey, I'm here.
And you can block the caller.
You could even block the caller. Oh, I got to write that one down. Somebody write that down. That's a good one. That's usually an Adam thing. He'll throw that kind of stuff. That's a good one. And you know what a lot of people have? Here's what they're hearing right now. Blah, blah, blah. I want to talk about boys. Blah, blah, blah. I want to talk about girls. Blah, blah, blah. I want to go to grandma girl. Blah, blah, blah. That's what they're hearing right now. Shut up. Just get to the end. Let's pray. Can we get out of here? They're missing it. You are called by God. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He does. And it's not just to watch TV.
Hallelujah. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, Subuta's like, I am. Well, why got you? It's not just so you read books, this thing, okay? Come at me, will you? You're a tech friend there. But you get the idea, right? We're on mission. You're called. Wait, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, 9, and 26, 27. What does that say? Somebody wants to read. Kelly, are you making eye contact if you want to read, or just making eye contact because you're looking at me? Okay, go for it. Right there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, and then 26 and 27.
All right, 8 and 9 is, who also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ.
You are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. You're called to walk with Him, to be His disciple. That means you follow Him wherever He goes. He's in charge of your time. He's in charge of your direction. He's in charge of your life. If He's not, then you are, and you're not following Him. Okay, go ahead. What is the other one? 26, 27.
Where you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, not many are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty.
Yes. See, God's called a dude like Jason, all haired up, tatted up, so that people could say, what is it with this dude? What is he? Why does he love this Jesus? Look at him. He just doesn't look like much. But yet in the spirit, oh man. I'm not attacking him. I'm just saying.
I thought he was
gaming. Sure. Don't even get me started on Anthony. No, listen. But yet in Christ, man, you are something.
Amen.
That is the truth. You're called. You're chosen.
The enemy wants to say you're not, don't live like it, don't walk like it, don't worry about it, you have plenty of time, it's no hurry. That's one of Satan's strategies, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, tell them, hey, Satan, I got an idea. Let's tell the people that there's no heaven. Oh, they know that's not gonna. Let's tell them there's no hell. That's not gonna work. They know that there's sinners. They know where they're going. Let's just tell them there's no hurry. You're called. And then here's the second one that you are. Folks, you're loved. Some of the translations say sanctified, I think. Am I right here?
Yeah.
I actually like that a little bit better. Sanctified includes being loved, but it means set apart. In other words, like in the Old Testament, if something was sanctified for the temple use, like the cups or the bowls or something, you couldn't just go in and have a cup of water. This was set apart for God's use. Not for common use. Not for everyday use. For God's use. And when you are sanctified and you're loved, He has set you apart for His use. Not for common use. Not for what the worldly use is. You are set apart by God, for a special reason. Live like it! You are loved. You are sanctified. Romans 5:8 says, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. That's love. John 3:16-17, it should say.
God's love.
What is it, Deb Joe? Give me with that Tennessee accent. Let's hear it.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe it in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. That's love.
3:16.
And then, yes, it is, 3:16. You're right, I wrote it wrong. And then 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, behold the love the Father has lavished on you. He's like overflowed it, like, He's like dumped it on you. And you should be called Tom Panworth, the child of God. Amanda Panda, a child of God? Lavished? Yeah! But not only that, not only are you called and chosen, you are loved and sanctified, but you are also kept. Some of your translations say, what is it? Preserved? Yeah, I don't like that one as much because it sounds like, you know, like a jam or something.
Yeah.
But I like kept. And what comes to my mind is John chapter 10. Boy, I left that out. John chapter 24-28, I think it is. Let's go there real quickly. John chapter 24-28. That's what I'm remembering it, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay, and before we even get there, there's a verse coming to mind that I think the Holy Spirit's bringing to mind. Listen, if the Lord began the good work in you, He is faithful to complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. No one can stop what the Lord is doing. If you've saved somebody, they're not saved. But if the Lord's doing it in your life, holy cow, nothing can stop them. Just walk.
Who does that work? Is it me or
it is absolutely God. It is God who does the work. He saves. I don't save. I hear a lot of evangelists. I saved 10 people this year. You save nobody. If you save somebody, they're not saved. You don't have that kind of power. If I wanted you to be saved with all my heart, you know what it would ultimately mean? Nothing. That has to be between you and God. God's saying, I'm here, I love you, I want you, I'm calling you, and you have to not block the call. Take the call and say, I want to be a bondservant. I want to be a That's me. Kept by Jesus. What is it? Oh, 20. Yes.
Sorry. I was going to say.
No, sorry.
When you're, it doesn't sound very enjoyable, people, but it's when you're actually serving Jesus, all of your problems are His responsibility. All of your needs are His responsibility. Mm-hmm. All of your future is his responsibility. Mm-hmm. He's a very generous master, and he's very kind, and he's very creative, and he doesn't plan boring things for his children. So don't let the enemy trick you and say, oh, it's going to be boring, boring. It's not true. Yeah. God is so creative. Look at the world around us. Look at all the animals that he's created. And he's not saved us so that we can be bored to death. Living in him and being his servant is the most supreme thing, because it means he's always going to be responsible for your for everything. Your health, your finances, your joy, your love, everything is in him. So the enemy's going to say, it's going to be boring. Just call him out. He's a liar. It's not going to be boring. Anybody walked with Christ for years can say that it's been exciting. I can. Joy-filled, most exciting, most awesome, life-giving thing. And I've never regretted it, ever.
Yes. Oh, yes, go ahead.
You know, a lot of times I've said, if I could just be like Paul, you know, or if I could meet one of the heroes. When I read 1 Corinthians 1:1, it says, Paul of Jesus Christ. And that word called is the same word that is used when we are called.
Yes.
So Paul had the call, and we have that same call that Paul had.
Yes.
We don't need to say, can I have that? We've already got it. Yes. It's already ours in Jesus Christ. It's the same call by the same Lord, by the same God and Father, by the will of God.
Man!
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Kept. What did it say? I forgot. I knew. I said somebody was going to read that. Is that you, Kelly? Who was it? I don't remember.
You didn't say.
I didn't say? Well, that way it is now. It's yours. John chapter 10, 24, 28.
The Jews gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe, because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me.
My sheep know my voice. They hear me, and they follow me. Don't say you love them if you're not going to follow him and obey his commands. If you just say you love him and you don't obey his commands, 1 John says you're a liar, and the truth isn't in you. Mm-hmm. Not being attacking, just being truthful. You need to re-examine yourself and see whether or not you're in the faith. Anyway, please continue.
I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand.
Ooh. Who can snatch?
No one.
What else is that? Is that the last verse? 20?
That's 28.
Okay. No one.
But he said one more. I don't know if
you want that
or not.
And what does 29 say, Mark?
29 says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all.
Yeah.
And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand.
Yes.
I and the Father are one.
Yeah. That's the ace of spades on that trunk.
Yeah. I think I did actually mean to put that in there because, that's good.
But she's right. Number 30.
Okay, go for it.
And I and the Father are one. That's it.
Go one for it. Way to go. Okay, so that's like verse 2. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? So obviously we're not going to get through the book of Jude. Not even close.
So good. We were going to anyway.
Let's just...
We already knew it.
But he says this... Look, that was verse 1, actually. See how rich the word is?
Amen.
Rich.
Pastor, it's beautiful when people have a revelation of all of that.
Yes.
Like so many times, like in my own life... First many years I was saved, I don't think I realized how much Jesus loved me. When you really get it, it's
mind blowing.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the enthusiasm in our brother back here. When you have a realization deep in your spirit of those things,
yes.
You are called and loved and kept forever. Just, there's really no words to describe how freeing and how powerful and how exciting it is.
That's the Christian life!
Something very calming.
Well, in the storms of life, yes.
No, but I mean
peace. You
joy.
Have
joy.
Yes.
Joy doesn't have to make
yes.
you get up and dance and
yes.
holler and scream or whatever, sing or whatever you want to call it. Personally,
confidence,
I'm speaking
peace.
For myself.
Yes.
It's very calming.
Satisfaction,
yes.
contentment.
It straightens
yes.
things out.
Yes.
And
says who do you trust?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's also funny sometimes.
Yeah, it is?
Funny. Oh, yeah.
How so?
Well, somebody will call me and say, take me here. Okay, I got this day booked. The next thing you know, they call and they cancel. I go, oh, okay, I got a day off. 10 minutes later, somebody calls and says, oh, well, can you take me? I say, oh, okay, I'll take you. They just canceled on me. And it does that every day.
And maybe God has a different reason. Maybe God wants you to share.
Exactly.
It
cracks me up, though. I
Isn't
laugh every
funny?
Time. I shouldn't laugh, but it does. I say, you crack me up.
Well, it should be that way.
Yes, yeah. That's cool. That's listening to the Holy Spirit. That makes it fun.
Yeah.
It's scary, but calming. You never get bored.
Nope.
No. In good times behind you.
The next verse says, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. I like that the ESV says it better, and maybe the King James too, but it says be multiplied to you.
Yep.
See, that's what God's going to be. I love God's math, okay? First, he says three things, mercy. And I'll just give you some scriptures real quickly. Daniel 9:9, God's mercy. It says, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we've rebelled against him.
Oh, and then,
who doesn't need that?
Yeah.
Wow. Zoinks. Luke 6:36 says, okay, since you've received that mercy, if you're a born again Christian, I want you to be merciful. Oh, that's a different story, Lord. No, I want you to show that mercy. I want to choke the guy for the $10. I know you've forgiven me of $10 bazillion, but the guy owes me $10. He's ripping me off. I want to choke him. Luke 6:36, be merciful as
your father's
merciful. Booyah. Matthew 6:7, blessed, you'll be blessed recipients of God's divine favor. Tom Panhurst Bible study about 10 years ago. Recipient of God's divine favor are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. I want to be merciful. Maybe it's a little selfish. I want to get mercy before. I like it. I need it. Maybe you don't.
And you want it.
I think of a woman, right? Caught in the middle of adultery, right? It was a trap.
Yeah.
They wanted to hook Jesus, get him to say something. You remember that? In John 8? I have 1 through 11 there, but anyway, that's what it is. But anyway, in verse 7, they were like, hey, we caught her, and we, of course, they planned it all. Didn't say that. But anyway, they kept demanding an answer, so he stood. They were all going to stone her to death, and they said, that's what the law says. We should stone her right here. What do you say? Let's try to get you, Jesus. And Jesus just said, he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And then he stopped down and he stooped down and he wrote in the dust. I think he was writing the names of each person, personal opinion, and what their sin was. Adultery, pornography, you're a thief, you're this, you're that. And it says, one by one, it says, when the accusers heard this, one by one, beginning with the oldest, because, you know, I'm sure they heaped up some sins over the years. Beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle, and the crowd with the woman. Jesus stood up and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said.
And
Jesus said, neither do I. And then he said, go and sin no more. That's mercy.
Amen.
Mercy's not getting what you deserve.
But Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to free the world.
Save the world. Amen. And then next, mercy, peace. I used to have this bumper sticker, no Jesus, no peace. But if you know Jesus, you can know peace in the middle of a storm. Peace with God. When you get saved, Romans 5:1 says, you've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we have peace with God now, because if you're not bending your knee to him, you're an enemy. He loves you, but that's what you are. Peace from God. You keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast on you because he trusts in you. See, you will have peace as your mind trusts in the Lord. If you are steadfast on the Lord, then even though the finances are getting crazy, even though the people are getting goody knuckleheads, even though whatever it is, I'm trusting in you, Lord. And you'll have peace in that situation, in that storm. And then I think of this, when I think of God's peace, I think of Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about what?
Anything.
But in
everything.
By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Are you doing that? Are you trying to figure out all your ways, out of all your jams? Why does it work? It can't happen. I can't trust him. You don't understand. This is my personal situation. Everybody says that. Now, one counseling session, if they come for counseling, there's always some reason why they can't trust God. You don't understand. This is a situation. You know what? I understand the storm may be heavier here for you. There may be lightning. Water may even get in your boat. Yet, present those requests to God.
Peace in God.
And the peace of God, which will transcend all your understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. He's the one that can say, as you trust in him, peace, be still.
Amen.
He calms the storm in your life, not you. You're running and running and running. The Lord is weeping and weeping. Peace he has for you. As you turn it over to him. Oh, I don't have time to get into that.
Rocky.
This is the coolest illustration. This is my whole, I so wanted just to get to verse 3.
Oh, I see that movie.
But I don't think I'm going to have time. But I will say this last thing about the, verse 2. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance, for it be multiplied. And I'm just, let me just say this last thing about this then. God's math is so cool. He doesn't say grace, mercy, peace be yours, added onto you, or even subtracted from you. He says, I want it multiplied to you. That's God's abundance. You know, I don't know about you, but when I think of stuff being multiplied, I think of the loaves and the fishes.
Amen.
Can we just... Last scripture, can we just go there really quick together as a body? I know it's a little left of go there and Mark, maybe Mark or Matthew, I don't remember which one I had it going through. Go to processing standby. I think I wrote it down for myself, so in case I just forget. Maybe I can, that'd be a moment. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. Yes.
Can I say something
about
that verse?
Yes, you sure can.
My biggest stumbling block in all of that is that one word, thanksgiving.
Come on.
It's easy to go with my prayer and my petition. But having the right heart attitude of thanksgiving for those difficulties is very difficult.
It is.
And I don't know if it is for anybody else.
It is.
No, it is.
Hey, you're up in my grill.
But see, can I tell you something? Mark? God sees, I know you know this, but God sees what you do not yet see. In other words, when Jesus said, we're going over to the other side, right? And the storm's coming in, and it's filling the boat, the rain's coming down, and they're drowning. You know what I'm saying? They're freaking out. Don't you care? Don't you love us? How are we supposed to be thankful in this situation? It sucks. I hate it. I'm freaking out. But do you remember what was going to happen as the enemy was coming against them? Over on the other side. The disciples didn't know this, but Jesus already said, I'm taking you to the other side. He's going to take you to the other side. Let's just say you kick the bucket in this situation. Let me tell you, he's going to wipe every tear from your eyes. You're going to see the Lord. He's going to... rewards unspeakable, though I see the ears heard those who love, what God has prepared for those who love them. Pretty amazing. But God said, had something planned already that they didn't know about. When they went over to the other side, a man was going to be free from demons. They were going to see it, and never forget it for the rest of their life. And that man was going to go into that Decapolis area, tell his story to everybody, and multitudes would be saved that they would see later on. But they never knew that because they just focused on the storm. Because they trust in him, God has more for you later. You don't always see in the storm. Yes?
I think it's also, that's why it's so important that it's in there, because it's not a natural thing, you know, to be thankful when you're struggling. So it's so important to be in there because it makes you think about it. You have to be mindful to be thankful.
Yes.
Well, who you're thankful for.
Exactly.
And then thankful too.
Yes.
Well, what do you think for that? What happens in your life?
Yeah, amen. Now, this is the last scripture we're going to go over, and then we'll call it. It's Mark chapter 6, verse 32. I need a reader who doesn't mind reading. Mark. I got so much writing in my Bible, so much writing I can't even read. Mark chapter 6, verse 32. He's trying to get away by himself, right? Jesus just trying to get away. Who can read this for me? Doesn't mind reading for a minute. Okay, Gloria, go for it.
So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew and ran there on foot from all the cities.
I love that. They ran there. They see him getting in the boat, he's leaving, and they run to him. That's 8 miles they ran to get to Jesus. Some people are like, well, I have to drive like 10 minutes to get to church. Are you kidding me, please? They ran 8 miles to see Jesus. Hello?
How'd they see him?
They have eyeballs.
8 miles away?
No, they can see on the Sea of Galilee. If you look at the Sea of Galilee, you can actually see over to the other side on clear days. So if you saw him leaving one spot and you see where he's headed, you could run around this. It's not like a... I mean, it's big, but it's not...
It's like Lake Okeechobee.
It's not huge where you can't see the other side. You can see where they're going. It just takes... I mean, it'd be a long trip all the way around. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Anyway, continue, Gloria.
And they arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things.
The importance of the word. He's even teaching them now. Always teaching, teaching, teaching. If they're willing to listen, are you willing to listen? Go.
And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But Jesus answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat."
This is a little test, I think.
And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?"
I think they're being sarcastic here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we can't do this. I know we can't do this. Right?
Right. But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish.
Now, I want to tell you how they got these 5 loaves, 2 fish. Really quickly, give me 1 second. John chapter 6, verse 8 and 9 adds a different, adds an extra element. When they went to go see, what happened was a boy, a child,
had a lunch.
And he had basically, because this is a long journey. We're not talking about, you know, going 10 minutes down the road. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish with him. So, basically, this is how they got the 5 loaves and 2 fish. For the 5,000 people. All right? Continue.
Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. And they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. And now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men.
Now, I just want to let you know that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 21, it says that it also, 5,000 men, there were also with them women and children. So there's probably like 15,000, 20,000 people that they fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. On top of that, they had 12 baskets filled to the top. And it was a miracle, so people say, everybody just gave. No, if you look at John chapter 6, verse 13 and 14, it says it was a miracle. So don't tell me it's not a miracle. If the Bible says it's a miracle, it's a miracle! So what's happening here is this little child comes with nothing for 20,000 people and says, who am I? I just got 5 loaves, 2 fish. Who are you, Jen? Who are you, Natalie? Tammy, who are you? What do you got? Nothing. I got a couple loaves and bread and some. I nothing. Yet the Lord takes the little tiny bit you have, and you're willing to trust him with it. This isn't a money thing. I'm not asking for money. You tithe if the Lord puts it on your heart to tithe. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your abilities, your talents, your gift, your life, what he has for you. If you give that in faith and trust over to the Lord, if you simply trust him and give him the tiny little bit and say, I want to give it all to you, Lord, is all I got. He will multiply it. Isn't that amazing? And he can feed hundreds and even thousands from a tiny child that just had faith to give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to give it up for him? There's a story that we'll close with this if anybody has any comments. Sometimes things can look so overwhelming, we think, what can I do? Nothing. That's what I think. Who am I? I don't know. I just got a couple loaves and some fish. But yet, I'm going to give that to you. And sometimes, it reminds me of a story that you guys, I'm sure you've heard this, about the little boy who was walking along the beach. And as he's walking along the beach, he came along, I don't know if it was a red tide or somebody. Anyway, he came along the beach and there were thousands of starfish that were washed up on the beach. And I'm sure you've heard this, but they washed up on the beach. The tide was going out. And for some strange reasons, the starfish ended up stuck on the beach. And they were all doomed because they couldn't survive being out of the water and then the hot sun until the next high tide. So this little boy realized it and he frantically started picking up the starfish and throwing them one at a time back out into the water. One at a time. Well, anyway, an older guy, much more wisdom, much more intelligence, much more prestige, comes up to him and starts laughing at him. Said, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? You're taking this useless starfish, throwing it back in the water? What difference does it make? There's thousands of them. Thousands just lying here. They're all going to die. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your life. It makes no difference. And the little boy said, and he heard that, he thought about it for a minute. Then he turned to the man, shook his head, picked up a starfish, and said, well, it makes a difference to this one.
Yep.
And threw that starfish back in the water. And so when I think of the loaves and the fishes, and when I think of my own heart, what I have to offer sometimes, it might not be a lot, but if you'll give it in faith, Bryce, Amanda, Miriam, Wendy, Joe, the Lord can multiply that little bit, Ray, what you have, Chris, and affect the lives of many, many people. And regardless, it will make the difference. Even though it looks overwhelming and you just want to give up, it'll make the difference to that one. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we'll get into verse 3 next week. Any comments or any questions? Sue, you were raising your hand first, so I want to hear.
Well, I was just thinking when you were telling that story that along with thankfulness was that before the miracle of multiplication happened, in the midst of a seemingly possible situation that was desperate, Jesus gave us the example to be thankful for what little we have.
He gave thanks for the 5 and 2, didn't he?
Yeah, which at that time, you know, even the disciples thought was just a joke.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we're in situations where we think we have nothing.
It's a joke. I think what I had is a joke sometimes to give. And yet,
you know, in that situation, yes. That there's nothing, that, you know, we should be thankful for whatever it is we do have first.
Yes.
You know, how is God going to, you know, feel free to start multiplying if we're not even
thankful for
what we have?
Good word. Good word. Excellent word. Yes, thank you. Jason.
You talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and really the defining factor was when Jesus said, you know, when I was naked and you clothed me, when I was in prison and you visited me, when I was hungry and you gave me something to eat or thirsty. And I said, when do we see you that way? He said, whenever you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. When you've given a child a cup of water, you know. So again, it's not about the grand scheme. It's about making the most of what you've been given, the talents, the two versus the five versus the one, and making them useful and multiplying them for the glory of the Lord. And it's not really about the grand scheme. It's about the part you play in the grand scheme, and that is just magnifying Him with whatever He's given you to do,
yes,
to whatever capacity that looks like.
Yes. Good. Good. What else? Yes.
Anything. Jesus comes down. Nobody knows it. If you're entertaining an angel, a little child can be an angel, or an adult could, or an adult can be a demon. And being told this, guys, and nobody would know. And that's why he said to be careful who you entertain.
Yes.
You don't know if you're entertaining.
By entertaining angels unaware.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Okay. Anybody? Only once? Twice?
Soul.
Has God to give some? Okay,
yeah.
Soul. All right, we're done. All right, let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Lord, I just appreciate your word so much, Lord. I appreciate who you are so much, Lord. I pray, Lord, if there are folks here, listen. If you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't know that you have chosen to make yourself a bondservant to Him for life, will you please come see one of us? You please, and we'll help you to make that calling and election sure. We'll show you the plan of salvation that God has laid out for you. And today can be the day of salvation for you. Don't go back and get your cloak. Don't think you have to clean yourself up before you give it all to Jesus and to become that servant of His. Don't give excuses on why you can't come. Just come. And be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for your blessing on each person here, Lord. Those who know you, Lord, I pray that they would be imparted, that the mercy and peace and love is theirs, multiplied to them in Jesus' name. I pray that you would hide in their hearts the fact that they are called, that they are sanctified, loved, kept for the kingdom of Lord God. You remind them of who they are in Christ Jesus, Lord. And for those who don't know you, I pray only by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would draw them to an end of themselves. And they would take up the cross and follow you. Today would be the day they would say, I want to know. I want to make this call on your election sure. Will you help me? Lord, I just love you, and I pray that you would save each person here supernaturally, not by religion, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for this time of Christmas. Lord, for those who are discouraged, encourage them, Lord. Lord, I pray even today would be an encouragement. This message would be a reminder to them. They would go and be a blessing to others. But bless, protect, keep them. In Jesus Christ's name. And thank you for those wonderful kids, Lord. Bless them as well. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord, you guys. Love you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.